Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CBG Airport. Start your trip at cbgairport.com.
We are not separating from the phone. It's a part of us. Now, who are you with no phone? What access to information do you have? What you can remember? What are you going to do without your pictures? Are you going to describe what you saw? That doesn't work for us. We don't want to talk to anybody that doesn't have a phone. That's why it's called an iPhone. It's half myself, half phone. That's a complete individual. I don't even know what the purpose of people is anymore. I think the only reason people still exist is phones need pockets to ride around in. I used to think Uber was on my phone so I could get around. Then I started thinking maybe they put Uber on the phone because that makes me take the phone because the phone is using me to get around. Who's really the Uber in this big prostitution ring? I'm the little bitch carrying the phone. The cars are the hoes picking up strangers off the street all night. And the phone's the big pimp of the whole thing telling the drivers, you just get who I tell you to get. I'll handle the money.
All right, 8 after 7, Jerry Seinfeld. And we're looking at showers and thunderstorms this morning, clearing up this afternoon. High of 87, right now 68 with Jeff and Jen. Bad news for single heterosexual men who own cats. Also, why people are stockpiling disposable urinals. And you might want to dial back on the perfume and cologne. It is Monday, the 22nd of June, 2020. We're Jeff and Jenna. Here it is, your news that didn't make the news on Cincinnati's Q102. Well, thank God I was in a relationship before this story came down. A new study has found that women find men less attractive if they're into cats. Researchers at Colorado State University took photos of various men, one by themselves and one of them holding a cat. And then over 700 women rated the photos. And what's interesting is when the men were holding cats, they were actually seen as less masculine and less dateable. Now, this applied to both short-term and long-term relationship potential.
I think that's very unfortunate. I mean, if a man loves a cat, then you know he's a sensitive, kind soul.
Yeah.
I mean, any man that has pets and treats them well, right?
You would hope.
This is sweet. I just keep thinking of our friend Brian.
Oh,
poor
yeah.
Brian. You know, he's what, in his mid-40s now?
And oh, way. Really?
And he's a cat dude and has always been a cat dude. And he has not been able to find himself a long-lasting relationship with a woman ever.
Not a long-lasting. You know, he gets a really attractive girlfriend. They just don't stick around very long.
And you wonder, is it the cats?
He takes them back to his apartment. And
does he clean the litter?
Like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he cleans the litter.
Does he have cat hair everywhere? That's always another thing.
He's a clean guy.
He's a pretty tidy
individual.
How many cats does he have?
He has 2.
Oh, so that's not excessive. It's not like he's got 10.
No. Yeah. But I definitely think they rule the house.
Oh.
And his Facebook page. He posts about him a lot.
Constantly.
But listen, you know, I mean, if this is who he is, then...
Well, then
you know,
that's who he is. And that's who he is. He'll find somebody. It just appears by this study that the pool is very shallow.
It's possible the pool is shallow. The pool also thought the men seemed more neurotic when holding a cat.
There, he is a little neurotic.
He is by nature.
With or without a cat.
Huh.
Yeah.
Learning so much about Brian today.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Oh, God, he's awesome.
Yeah. There was one key demographic that didn't care, though. Women who described themselves as a cat person were just as likely to say that a guy was dateable, whether he was holding a cat or not. In other words, it didn't really impact the way they saw the man either way. But it didn't help either.
Would anybody here like a cat or two? Apparently, there have been two litters born at my parents' house in Illinois that my mother is now feeding, and there are a total of 6 kittens.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
So, if anyone would like...
Nope.
I think we're going to have some.
Strays. Yeah. No, I mean...
Are you sure? Because now you have, you know...
No, I got 2.
A little more room there in Kenwood at that house. Yeah. You've got some space.
We got our hands full with the 2 we got.
But. Yeah. My boyfriend's allergic.
Lucky you, right?
Yep.
We're losing control of the house we're living in now with the 2 we got. What are you going to do?
I would take a couple more if I didn't think Merle would try to eat them. But I think he would. I think he would settle in and be all right.
Maybe you need another dog.
So Emma got a dog.
Really?
Yeah, Em and Fetty got a dog.
Yeah?
Bo. And...
That's the dog's name, Bo?
Yeah.
B-O or B-E-A-U?
B-E-A-U, yeah. And she's coming to town to visit.
Bringing the dog?
She's bringing Bo. So we'll see how that goes. Now, what's interesting is her boyfriend is kind of uneasy about it. Not for my cats, who, you know, could potentially be eaten by this dog.
What kind of dog is it?
Oh, I forget.
Is it an adult or did they get
a puppy?
It's a puppy.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah. He's spraying when it's excited.
Is he worried about the cats attacking him?
He's worried
him?
About the cats beating him up.
Well, do your cats have claws? Do they have claws? They have all their claws?
They have rear claws.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're bullies?
Then they'll be fine.
Are your cats bullies?
I've never really seen them around a dog, so this will be interesting.
Have they ever met a dog that you're aware of?
I don't know.
In your time with them?
I don't know. Because when I adopted my cats, they were adult rescues that were at least 5 years old. So I don't know what experience they have with dogs.
Right. You don't know their history.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to find out.
Maybe in the shelter they were in, they had exposure to dogs.
I don't know. I don't know how much time they actually spent in the shelter. All I know about the previous owner is that he was an elderly gentleman who was suffering from dementia. And had to give him up because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they went through a couple of foster homes there for a while. And that's all I know. And then they landed with adopted them. Yeah. So I'll give you full report.
They are pretty sassy, though. So it's going to be interesting to see them with a puppy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Roll tape.
It'll become very clear very quickly who's in charge. And it will be the cats.
Right.
Yeah.
It may be. Yeah. How many ways are there? The answer is at least 3 ways to make peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So most people take 2 pieces of bread, add peanut butter to one side, jelly to the other, slap them together, call it a day. That's how I would make it.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
All right. Another way is to put the peanut butter and jelly on one piece of bread.
That's so hard.
It sounds hard.
I mean, you have
it?
To do the peanut butter first and then the jelly. Because if you do the jelly first and then try to lop the peanut butter on top of the jelly,
smearing.
That's just messy. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, apparently that one's popular too, but people say those methods don't always yield the best results.
Yeah, you know, it'll depend too on whether the bread is toasted.
Well, instead, the experts are saying to put a little bit of peanut butter on both pieces of bread, first to act as a barrier, which prevents the jelly from soaking into the bread and making it soggy. Although, I got to tell you, I kind of like that.
Who
you
are like these the experts?
Who are these people that take 4 hours to eat a sandwich? How long does it need to sit to get soggy?
They've
been gone in 4 minutes.
They're self-proclaimed experts.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you guys, let me ask you this. So when you guys make a peanut butter and jelly, do you you take the knife and you get the peanut butter out and you wipe it on the bread?
Right.
Do you take that knife with peanut butter residue on it and dip it into the jelly? Do you lick it off or do you get a new utensil to jelly?
I run my finger down the length of the knife.
I wipe it off with a paper towel.
I wipe it on the other side of the bread that's clean.
There you go.
And then go into the jelly.
No waste. Zero waste, Tim, right
Very
over here.
Smart.
A recent survey asked 9,000 Americans if they prefer creamy or crunchy peanut butter. Creamy is the clear winner. 55% prefer creamy.
Really?
Yeah, 31%, which includes Jen and myself and anyone else in the room.
I'm crunchy, man.
I'm crunchy.
Yeah, I like crunchy, too.
I like it all.
I like texture.
I buy everything.
You're
almond
in the 4%,
butter,
like both equally, and 10% of us never eat peanut butter.
And I like that. Is it jelly that that has like the chunks of strawberries in it, or is that technically jam?
It's jam.
Jam has pieces of fruit.
Okay.
Jelly is made out of just the juice.
Just the gooey stuff.
And marmalade is made with the skin.
Marmalade.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a jam girl then.
You're a jam girl.
I love marmalade.
We had I made a little charcuterie board yesterday for Father's Day. So I went to the Murray's cheese shop at Kroger, you know, because I'm like, oh, we have to get all these cheese. And they had this Murray's brand of blueberry jam that I bought to put like with some of the blue cheese.
That sounds good.
It was so good. Like the whole thing was gone. Now I'm like, I got to find this again.
Yeah, that does sound good. Turns out men are slightly more likely to enjoy crunchy peanut butter than women. So that's how it is in America, my friends.
Interesting.
Let's talk about some of the crazy coronavirus stories that are happening in the world. I guess the newest thing we're running low on is pocket change. You know what? I'm not the only one. I never use it. I don't carry it around. If I have it, I go to the I go to Kroger. When I shop at Kroger,
and you dump it,
I do
the
self checkout. Yeah.
Oh.
I unload all of my change and then I'll switch to my card mid transaction, which you can do. You can change your method of payment.
Wow.
Yeah. You can do more than one method of payment.
Oh.
During your transaction.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, so that's where I get rid of all my change. If I have any change, but I don't deal in cash anymore. I almost never use cash now.
I do still have the obligatory canister next to the washer and dryer for when you empty out the pockets of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I have it. I think the only cash I have in my purse is Costa Rican money.
I got $1.
Yes, yeah. I have Korean money that Jeff brought.
Oh, yeah. Good to have in a pinch.
Yeah, yep. You know.
Yep.
In case you find yourself in Seoul.
You never know.
Mm-hmm. And you need to make a phone call or something.
Mm-hmm. With a dollar.
Right.
With whatever it was that you gave us.
A Korean won. So stores and banks are running low on pocket change. Yeah. A hospital in Vancouver has seen an uptick in groin injuries that can all be attributed to the lockdown in one way or another.
Home improvement projects.
I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Feel free to use your imagination there.
Too much time.
Mm-hmm.
You guys haven't injured yourselves in any way, have you, since? Yeah.
No, I call a guy.
Yeah, not in that department. But
no.
Just my normally klutzy behavior, yes.
Yeah. Nothing you can attribute to secondary COVID injury.
Just getting out of the car.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
A food bank in England asked people to double check expiration dates after someone donated a can of anchovies that expired in 1987.
What?
Yeah.
87?
Let's double check that before we hand it off to someone else. Also, people are buying disposable urinals so they don't have to rely on public restrooms. Huh.
Isn't that a interesting way to handle.
Fritchie, can you do a search on Travel John disposable urinal bags?
Yeah.
Travel John disposable urinal bags.
Okay, so they're just this is just a urinal.
Oh, it looks like a
disposable urinal.
It's just a bag.
It's just a bag? Sales have skyrocketed.
What is special about this bag that makes it better than a Ziploc?
Or a Wendy's cup or a Gatorade bottle.
Right.
Maybe
bladder-sized.
The way the weight is distributed, you know. Some of those wider bags are a little hard to
True. And you don't ever really know how much is going to.
You never know.
You don't know. So maybe these are the average bladder size in case someone has a full bladder.
You know, they hand me that cup. I'm like, I'm going to have to stop midstream.
Right. Can you stop midstream?
It's not easy.
It isn't once you're started.
Right.
It's just a bag.
$5.95 for how many?
A three-pack.
Three-pack. Mm. Is it worth $2 a leak?
I would.
It's a good shape, though.
Yeah.
That might actually work.
Even I bet it's got a super, it's probably got a really good seal on
it. And if you're a woman, you know, it looks like it has kind of a cup on the top.
So yeah.
You could kind of
snuggle right into that.
I think so.
Hmm.
Interesting.
But it's got some kind of absorbent powder in there.
That's interesting.
Urinal bags provide a safe and sanitary means of satisfying personal sanitation.
Now, the way they call it a urinal, so I assumed it was only for men, but it does appear to be built for a woman's shape as well.
Yeah. Well, it says on this, what I'm looking at, it says it's a portable toilet. But I did Google urinal, and this is what came up. Travel John portable toilet 3-pack.
Like, you would think guys who just have to do number one.
I mean, you can go anywhere.
Mother Earth is here for us.
Oh, it doesn't have a ceiling feature, Jen. The con. Somebody had a review on it and said that it doesn't seal.
It doesn't seal? Well,
no, but
that's
I guess
the point.
Well, what happens is when you pee in there, the powder, I think, is supposed to absorb all
of
the pee.
Turns it into a solid or something.
That's
and then
weird.
You just throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. Yeah. Well, order some and we'll try it.
Dude, try it Tuesday. Our Travel John disposable
we'll
urinal
into
bags.
One of the production rooms and give it a shot.
I'm going to go out in the lobby.
Joe's been guy. He's been out. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
No. What else? Oh. Okay, so it turns out this guy didn't have the virus, but a suspected COVID-19 patient in India died last week after his family unplugged his ventilator to plug in an air conditioner.
Oh, my God.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I just don't know.
And then the cannonball record, the cannonball run record, may have been broken again. A guy in a rented Mustang replaced the seat backs with fuel tanks, the back seats with fuel tanks, so he only had to get gas once. He says he did the cross-country drive in just under 26 hours, averaging 108 miles an hour. I'd like to know what route he took.
Yeah.
And boy, how do you manage that? What kind of radar detector have you got to have in your car?
To get away with it?
You know, I never thought those radar detectors ever worked because I might have owned one or two back a long time ago. Very long time ago. And they never seemed to work. Like, they worked, but there were just a lot of, like, false alarms. And every time I would get busted, that thing would go off and it'd be too late. Like, the guy nailed me. And years later, I was reading an article that said, well, that's because the people that make the so-called radar detectors are the same people that make the radars.
Yeah, they're the same ones that make the guns.
Yeah.
I've got a friend who he teaches, like, driving.
Yeah. Like performance driving?
Yes. Yep. And I've ridden with him, and he has top-of-the-line radar detector, and it works.
Does it?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have to.
I don't think he's ever gotten a ticket, and he drives.
That's pretty impressive.
It's pretty cool.
So, yeah. Yeah, what kind of interstate? I mean, he must have taken some interstates. He must really know, because I remember, like, as a member of AAA, when you're planning a trip, you know, before GPS, they would offer, and they might even still offer what they call is a triptych, which is basically like this little ringlet binder thing that you flip for each route segment, and they would highlight it. So all you got to do is just flip the card. This is before you had GPS telling you where to go.
Right.
But they would also stamp. They had this rubber stamp that would mark the areas along your route that you had to be careful because it was known, for instance, like Valdosta, Georgia, near the Florida border, is known to be a notorious speed trap. And so they would give you a heads up. And so this guy must really have known, like, the ins and outs of what route to take and where those state troopers are hiding.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show podcast, brought to you by CBG Airport. Start your trip at CBGAirport.com.